Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we consider the statement of Jesus regarding his return, where he compares that future event to the days of Noah. But first let's pray. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 36 to 44, and I'm reading from the NIV. No one knows about that day or hour, said Jesus, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. Here before us is a call to readiness, which Jesus issues to his followers. It is part of his response to the question put to him by the disciples in Matthew 24, verse 3, about his return and the end times, where it says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? This call to readiness comes through the rather brief discussion by Jesus about the parousia, a Greek word that refers to his arrival or coming, more specifically, his second and final coming, which finds its first explicit mention in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus was taken up into the heavens before his disciples' eyes, and angels say to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so this parousia is, according to Jesus, characterized by judgment of the ungodly, the restoration of all things, including the earth, and Christ's rule and reign over all of creation being established. It is in view of this that Jesus issues a call to readiness. But what kind of readiness is he referring to? We will look at that in a moment. In the meanwhile, it might be helpful to clear up a few things regarding the parousia, since there are a few misconceptions that people have about that day. And a lot of these ideas have grown out of what is known as the rapture, which is a theory that, prior to Christ's return, the church will have been caught away by him, an event that would effectively leave the earth's population without the witness of the body of Christ. Hence car bumper stickers telling people, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. With this as the proposition, Jesus at his return, which is his second coming, will come back to the earth with the whole church. But this is not entirely biblical, as we will see shortly. So let's talk about the rapture and why it's problematic. Firstly, as I've mentioned, the rapture suggests that the entire church, the faithful, are caught up and taken away to be with Jesus. A passage that helps us in this regard is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Brothers, says Paul, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, meaning to die, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Now, the idea of meeting the Lord in the air was framed in the well-known custom of a welcoming party that would leave a city to meet and greet an arriving victorious conqueror or visiting dignitary, and it's explained more clearly in the following way in the New Bible Commentary, and I quote, "The picture is that of a group of citizens going out from a city to meet a visiting dignitary and accompany him back. This implies that the Lord returns with his people to the earth. They certainly do not stay permanently on the clouds playing harps." This language was probably never intended to be understood absolutely literally. It is describing things that go beyond words. The important thing is that believers, whether the dead or the living, are from then with the Lord forever. Now, even if we were to take Paul's words literally, and I don't mind that, it still tells us that there is no rapture, since there will be a contingent of God's people, the church, present on the earth at that time. And this brings us to the second thing suggested by those who hold to the rapture, which is also somewhat inaccurate, and that is that Jesus will be coming for a church that will be huge and ever-growing in a state of revival to be caught up and taken away by him. But what will the church really look like as we get closer to the return of Jesus? Here are his words on the matter in Matthew 24, verse 10 to 14. "At that time, the time of Christ's return, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So what we do see is this. A falling away from the faith will take place, and the love of many will grow cold. There will also be an ever-growing appearance of false prophets and false teachers. There will be a faithful sharing of the gospel, right up to the final return of Jesus, by those who stand firm to the end. Again, note, the fact that these elements will be part of the church indicates that it will be present at the time of Christ's return. This then leads us to logically deal with the next point that is suggested by the idea of a rapture. That, in the end, the ungodly are the only ones on the earth, since our very reading says this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 40 to 41. "Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left." So some would reason that in line with the rapture, the godly are taken away first and the ungodly are left on the earth to face all the horrors of the great tribulation, along with Israel. This idea falls apart when one takes into account the preceding verses in chapter 24, verse 38 to 39, where Jesus said, "For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Note that the words "swept them all away" or "took them all away" and the word "taken" in chapter 24, verse 40 to 41 are used in the context of judgment, not to be gloriously swept away to be with God in heaven as a reward. The people in Noah's time did not understand the signs of the times and the coming judgment. So the one left behind, who survived, is in fact the Christian, not the unbeliever. As we draw to a close then, we should know that this is not really a call to physical readiness, but a spiritual readiness that will stand us in good stead in the day that Jesus returns. Let's have a look at a few of the things that Jesus says about his return. Firstly, it is a time that is known by no one in heaven but the Father alone. This statement reveals to us the order of things. Jesus is indeed higher than the angels, yet clearly some things belong to the Father who sustains all things. Secondly, it is an event that will be sudden and without warning, just like the godless were caught unawares by the flood in the days of Noah. And with the return of Jesus, people will also be caught unawares. They will be too busy with the things of this world at the expense of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we are called to keep watch, in other words, to be in a state of spiritual readiness. Therefore, said Jesus, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Jesus argued, quite logically, that if we were aware of an intruder coming to break in, we would make the necessary preparations to be ready for it. But this is almost always not the case, and is the same with reference to his return. We don't know when it will happen, so all the more we ought to be in a state of spiritual readiness. The idea is that when Jesus returns for the second time, he will find these people faithfully doing the work he has given them to do. Ours will be to always be aware of what is happening in the world, and then, as they say in some military organizations, to stay frosty. Stay on the alert. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have called us by name and we are yours. In this world we are overwhelmed by all sorts of problems that seem too big to even think about. Help us to turn our eyes to you and remember that everything will one day come under your supreme and gracious rule. As we stay true to you, may our lives reflect Jesus and draw others to the cross, for we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.